بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وعاشروهن بالمعروف. وقال جل جلاله: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خياركم خياركم بنسائهم. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, if we have to go back in history, prior to the time when any human being had even set foot on planet Earth, in Jannat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed His malaika to show honor and respect to ashraful makhluqat, to the fineness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, this human being, and for them to bow down before our father, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We know very well at that time, it was the pride, the arrogance, and the jealousy of Iblis that prevented him from complying with the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereby making him a shaitan rajim, the devil accursed until the day of Qiyamah. And it was at that point, and at that juncture, that shaitan very unashamedly and very boldly pronounced his intentions and his lifelong ambition. And that is to get even with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to lead insan astray. قال رأيتك هذا الذي كرمت علي لئن أخرتني إلى يوم القيامة لأحتنكن ذريته إلا قليلا. Oh Allah, Shaitan said, Oh Allah, you have honored and you have preferred this human being over me. Oh Allah, give me life until the day of Qiyamah, and I will show you that how I will snatch them away from you and how I will take them into my grip. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. Oh Allah, I will lead them astray. And oh Allah, I will give them false hopes. And oh Allah, I will cause them to indulge in various vices. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And oh Allah, I will instruct them. And I will tempt them. And they will change the way that you have created things. They will change the way that you have created things. In Tafsir Khazin, under the commentary of this verse, the Mufassir mentions that what does Khalq Allah refer to? It refers to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain things as lawful and others as unlawful. Certain things as permissible and others impermissible. And likewise, Allah ta'ala has created certain things with a certain role, a specific function, and for a specific purpose. So Shaitan said, Allah, I will seduce them and I will tempt them. And they will begin to regard the unlawful as lawful. And they will begin to regard the impermissible as permissible. And the role and function and purpose for which you have created things, they will begin to alter and adulterate and distort and change the role for which they have been created. Now we have to fast forward and come to our zamana, our time. And we see this plan of Shaitan coming together. And we find that this ambition of Shaitan is now becoming a reality and is materializing. We are living in such times, my dear brothers, wherein certain deeds, which not too long ago were being regarded as taboo, were being regarded as preposterous, were being regarded as unimaginable, unthinkable, unacceptable, not only by Muslims, but any person, no matter what religion he may be from, any person possessing a sane and clear mind, this would have been unimaginable, unthinkable according to him. But through the efforts of Shaitan, the sinister efforts of Shaitan and his agents, today we find that many of those unacceptable things have become acceptable. Many of those abnormal things have become the norm of society. Example of this, my dear brothers, we have in the world at the moment a movement called the LGBT movement. Lesbians, gays, bisexuals and transgenders. This movement is being put forward so strongly and is being promoted so strongly huge football teams and huge sporting teams and actors and singers have thrown their full weight behind this movement. And they say, you have our endorsement and we are right behind you. And what is worse than that, my dear brothers, we find that if any person has to stand up and condemn and speak out against his abnormal acts, then this person is now regarded as backwards. And he is regarded as non-progressive. And he is called a person who is not moving with the times. And he is labeled as a bigot and a phobe. And this is precisely the prophecy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When he told his sahaba, the riwayat appears in the Musnad of Abu Ya'ala al-Musili. He says that Allah's Nabi said, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا تَرَكْتُمُ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. O my sahaba, what will be the state of affairs when this ummah will neglect their obligation of amr bil ma'roof, enjoining good, وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and prohibiting people from evil. Sahaba could not fathom, they could not understand that such a time will come. أَوَكَائِنٌ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Rasul of Allah, will such a time actually come? Allah's Nabi said, نَعَمْ وَأَشَدُّ مِنْ. O my sahaba, yes, that will come, and things worse than that will happen. كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا وَالْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا. O my sahaba, what will be the state of affairs when you will see evil as good, and you will see good as evil? Satan's promise, فَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. O Allah, I will distort and I will adulterate and I will change the way you have created things. Now, my dear brothers, we all know that amongst the things that Shaitan has caused to alter and change and to distort, that is the role and the function and the status of women in society. Currently, we are in the month of August. In our country, the month of August is celebrated as Women's Month. And just 2 days ago, many of us would have enjoyed a day off, a public holiday, Women's Day. Now this day or this month was originally celebrated to commemorate a group of women who in the year 1956 took a very bold stand against the apartheid regime of South Africa. But over the past few years we have noticed that this month is also used to what, as they say, as the kuffar say, to highlight the plight of Muslims, or to highlight the plight of women, not only in this country but around the world. That is why during this month we will hear words like feminism, sexism, gender equality, equal rights for men and women, equal opportunities for men and women. And we find that the enemies of Islam, those people who are looking for every opportunity to malign and to defame Islam and to dissuade people from Islam, the enemies of Islam, the West, through their well-oiled machine, propaganda machine, they say that Islam, they use opportunity to say that Islam is a religion that breeds, and Islam is a religion that advocates and preaches oppression and abuse towards women. And we find, my dear brothers, that this agenda of the Western idea of feminism, and that Islam is a religion that preaches abuse towards women, is being put forward at such an impetus that let alone the kuffar already accepting it, we find that many Muslims are left doubting and wondering. And then you get those so-called progressive Muslims, liberal Muslims, who also accept the Western idea of feminism. That is why, my dear brothers, in recent times we have seen the emergence of a new breed of Muslim women. A new breed of Muslim women. In the past you had those women who were pious, homely, modest, and you had those who were otherwise. But recently we find there's a new breed of Muslim women emerging. You know, in the hadith of Allah's Nabi said that close to Qiyamah there will be women kasiyatun ariyatun. Now the normal commentary given to this hadith is that there will be women that who will dress up. But despite dressing up, because of their clothing being revealing, being short, so they will be clothed and naked at the same time. But one of our modern day scholars who passed away not too long ago, he said in this hadith, Allah's Nabi is being figurative. Rather, Allah's Nabi is saying, you will get those women who will wear the garment of modesty. They will wear the garment of deen. But their hearts will be naked. And their hearts will be devoid. And their hearts will be bare of the modesty and the spirit of Islam. That is why today we find Muslim women who wear the garment of deen. They'll wear their cloak, they'll wear their abaya. They'll wear the scarf upon their heads and they'll call themselves hijabis. They wear the garment of deen. They talk the talk of deen.
but their hearts are ravished, and their hearts are polluted, and their hearts are diseased with the sickness of modernism and the Western idea of feminism. So my dear brothers, it's become imperative, and it's become an obligation for us to speak of what really is the status and the role and the position of women in Islam. But before we analyze this, my dear brothers, before we analyze the whole thing, we have two things to say to the people of the West, those who accuse Islam of being a religion that advocates abuse and oppression of women. Number one is that we find it very, very strange and very hypocritical that you are preaching to us and you are teaching us about freedom for women. Why don't you take a look into your own backyard, your own countries, and see the rates of abuse in your own countries? The Time magazine carried a report. We said annually in the United States, annually, 6 million women are subject to abuse at the hands of their husbands. And from this number, up to 4,000 women are beaten to death by their husbands. An FBI report concluded that in the United States, 40% of murders that take place is as a result of domestic abuse. Women being abused by their husbands, that results to the death of this woman. And 25% of all suicides committed by women is as a direct result of domestic abuse and violence as woman is suffering at home. And my dear brothers, another report stated that the number of women who are hospitalized for domestic abuse alone, this number is more than the number of women who are hospitalized for rape and for accidents and for other crimes as well. So we say to the people of the West, first get your house in order before you come to preach to us about what is oppression to women and what is abuse of women. You have snakes around your neck. But you are concerned about the fly which is supposedly buzzing around the head of somebody else. And the second thing we say to the people of the West is that when you talk about freedom for women, emancipation of women, it seems as though you mean strip the women of their haya, of their modesty, and take them out of their homes and throw them into the public, into the workplaces and to the corporate world, so that now they become subject to manipulation and even more abuse. To you, it seems as though a woman, if to you, a woman who stays at home and very lovingly takes care of her husband, who looks after her, who loves her, who provides for her, who will literally give his life for her, if this is your idea of discrimination and your idea of oppression and abuse, but for a woman in a miniskirt to serve an entire plane load of men, each one of them having lustful thoughts about her, many of whom, if given the opportunity, would not think twice about violating this woman. If this is your idea of freedom and emancipation of women, and if for a woman to cover up her beauty and only expose her beauty to her lawful husband, if this is your idea of discrimination and oppression, but for a woman to be dressed up semi-naked and be paraded at some pageant upon a stage like as though she is some prize-winning cattle, if this is your idea of freedom and emancipation, then unfortunately we are on two different wavelengths. We are on two different frequencies and we will not be able to reason with you. But when you speak of emancipation and freedom of women, if you mean by this that women be safe from abuse and they be safe from oppression and that they be given the love and the care and the dignity that they deserve, then we say to you that there is nothing new that you can teach us in this regard. There is nothing new that you can teach us Muslims in this regard. There is no system in the world. There is no religion in the world. There is no government in the world. There is no constitution in the world that has given more rights and more honor and dignity to women than Islam has given. And for us to fully understand this and to understand the significance of this, we merely have to take a look at the condition of the world in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Many times for us to understand the significance of something, we have to look at the historical context of that. In this country, for example, if I have to tell a person that we in this country enjoy racial freedom, if the person does not know of the history of this country, then he will say, big deal. This is the case in many other countries of the world. But when you explain to him that the apartheid regime that we had previously and the background of this country, then he will understand and he will appreciate the significance of this statement. Likewise, my dear brothers, we find, if you go through Quran and go through ahadith, we get an understanding of what was the condition of women in the world at the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Quran Sharif speaks of female infanticide. Now we have our pesticides at home, sprays that we use to exterminate and kill pests. At that time, the Arabs, they were such that when they would be given the glad news of a female child being born, then many times they would take this child, this female child, and bury her, or kill her in some other way. Quran Sharif speaks of this here. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. That they say, must I live with the disgrace of having a female child, having a daughter, or should I take her and bury her? Likewise, my dear brothers, we find the condition of wives at that time. It's mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Zainab bint Abi Salama mentions that iddat, the concept of iddat in Jahiliyyah, prior to the time of Nabi alayhi salatu was such, that when a husband will pass away, a woman will be made to wear her oldest clothes, and then she will be taken and put in some sort of hut, very dark, dingy kind of place. And for 1 year she will have to sit in this hut. For one complete year, she will have to sit in this hut. And in that 1 year, she will not be allowed to bathe, she will not be allowed to neaten herself. And after 1 year, when she will come out, an animal will be brought to her. She will take this animal and she will rub it upon some part of her body. And the narrator mentions, because of the filth and dirt that had accumulated in her body, many times that animal will become sick, and shortly after the animal will pass away. And then this woman will take a few droppings of that animal, throw it behind her back, and this will now signal the end of her iddat. We find at that time when a man will pass away, then his wife will be inherited by his sons from another wife. And they will decide that what they will do with this woman. If they wanted to keep her for themselves, or will she be allowed to marry somebody else? And who will she be allowed to marry? And if she wants to marry somebody else, then she will first have to pay back the dowry that our father had given her. And this oppression of women was not only something found amongst the Arabs. In the kitab, Al-Mar'atu Bayna Takrim al-Islam wa Ihanat al-Jahiliyyah, the author mentions that at that time, other civilization, other cultures, be it the Greeks, be it the Romans, be it the Persians, be it the Indians, be it the Chinese, all of them were oppressing women. A few examples he gives. He says the Greeks would regard women to be a product of the devil. Women were regarded as a product of the devil. And in India, a woman, after her husband had passed away, she did not deserve to live. So her life, her body, would be burnt together with the dead body of her husband. So my dear brothers, in short, at that time, it was a very, very tough and difficult world for a woman to be living in. And it was at that point that Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy unto the worlds, who was a mercy to both man and woman, he stands up and he makes powerful statements that were going to go against the norms of the time, statements that were a direct challenge to the male dominated society, statements that were going to challenge the thoughts and the norms that had become infused in the blood of the person. Allah's Nabi stands up and he says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Your Allah instructs you that you be good to your wives. Allah's Nabi stands up and says, لَا يَحِلُ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُ النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا. O people, it is not permissible, it is not lawful for you to go on inheriting women in the way you are doing. Allah's Nabi stands up and he says, اللهم إني أحرج إليك حق الضعيفين اليتيم والمرء. O Allah, I declare it a sin to trample upon the rights of the two weak people, the orphan and the woman. Allah's Nabi comes and he says, daughters who at that time were regarded as a disgrace, he gives such honor, such dignity, such respect to women, that he says, مَنْ عَالَ جَارِيَتَيْنِ حَتَّى تَبْلُغَى جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هُوَ وَأَنَا كَهَاتَيْنِ. That person, Allah blesses him with daughters, and he looks after these daughters until they become baligh. That person and I and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come on the day of Qiyamah like this. Allah's Nabi said, مَنْ ابْتُلِيَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْبَنَاتِ فَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهِنَّ كُنَّ لَهُ سِتْرًا مِّنَ النَّارِ. That person, Allah ta'ala blesses with daughters, and that person gives them a good upbringing, then these daughters will become a means to protect this person from the fire of Jahannam. Allah's Nabi comes. Wives at that time were seeing nothing more than an object of fulfilling desire. Allah's Nabi comes and he says, khiyarukum, khiyarukum linisa'ihim. That now how good you are, or how much goodness you have in you, will not depend upon your feats, or how much macho you are. Rather, it will depend, the gauge and the yardstick will be, how good you are to your wives. The better you are to your wives, the more virtuous you are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi comes, and he gives such honor and dignity to mothers, and he puts mothers above fathers. Allah's Nabi gives the mothers three rights over the father. Allah's Nabi comes and says, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. That if you are looking for Jannat, look for Jannat at the feet of your mother. In Hajjatul Wida, in the farewell sermon, when Allah's Nabi's mission is now drawing to an end, and Allah's Nabi outlines only the most important aspects of deen, Allah's Nabi again mentions, Istawsu bin nisa'i khaira. O my Sahaba, accept my advice. Please take my advice and treat your woman fairly. Allah's Nabi, there is no system in the world. There is no constitution in the world. There is no government in the world that has given honor to the to woman as Islam has given. But unfortunately, my dear brothers, we find that I like to make a very, very important point to you. A very, very important point to you. And I beg you to please understand this and don't take it out of context. Yes, Islam has given great honor, great respect and great dignity to women. But Allah has not created a man and a woman the same. If your heart can accept this, then make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if your heart cannot accept this, then this is like a person who is sick and you give him honey to drink. But because of his sickness, that honey now says tastes bitter. Then it's no fault of the honey that he is getting a bitter taste in his mouth. Rather, something is wrong with the person. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Allah has put men in charge of women. And this is because Allah has preferred some people over others. This is because Allah has preferred some people over others. And this is a very, very important and vital point which the people of the West seem to miss. Those who are shouting for women's rights and those who are shouting for equality between men and women. When they talk of women's rights, then they mean women's rights as compared to men. Women's rights as compared to men. Instead of looking at it that men are one creation of Allah and women are another creation of Allah. Each one have been created with their own unique rights and their own unique and exclusive roles and functions. The West to a certain extent accept this. When it comes to their sports, be it athletics or anything else, then they have separate categories for men and separate categories for women. Because they understand that if we have to put the woman up against the men, then the woman will be at a disadvantage. Because men and women are not the same. Be it physically, be it mentally, be it emotionally, Allah has created men differently and Allah has created women differently. And for argument's sake, my dear brothers, if we men tomorrow have to flip the argument around and we have to say that it is so unfair. How is it that only women fall pregnant? Why aren't we allowed to fall pregnant? And why is it that only women enjoy the bond of breastfeeding their children? The closest bond the two human beings can ever share is the bond between a breastfeeding mother and a suckling child. So we have to see why it is so unfair. Why are only the women allowed to enjoy this? Why can't we enjoy this? I ask you, my dear brothers, is this a valid argument? Valid argument. Is this a valid argument? Of course it's not a valid argument. So likewise, why are they shouting for women to be treated exactly like men? For women to have the same rights as they say, rights as the men. Rather, men and women are two vital components of society. Each one as important as the other. Those of you who are familiar with cars. In a car, a person has the engine oil and he has the coolant running in the car. Each one of these things are vital components for the car. If any one is missing, then that car will not be able to function. Likewise, men and women are two vital components of society. Each one having their own role, own function and own objective. Allah has created men to go out of the home and to face the harsh world out there. To face the harsh world out there and to earn a living for himself and for his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the woman to stay indoors and to take charge of the domestic affairs and for her lap to become the first madrasa, the first school from which the future generation will be inspired and they will be motivated. I mean, after all, it was the sabr which Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam noticed in his mother. when she was left in the barren valley of Makkah to fend for herself, the sabr that he saw in her motivated him to say, "Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin." When his father told him, "Oh my son, Allah instructs me to slaughter you," at that time, because he learned from his mother sabr, at that time he said, "Oh my father, you will find me to be patient." And it was the role played by a woman who was fulfilling her role for which Allah Ta'ala created her. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes back from the cave of Hira after receiving initial wahi, Allah's Nabi is scared, he is worried. It was the kind and consoling words that now motivates Allah's Nabi again. And it was the role played by the mother that gave the ummah the likes of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, the likes of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, the likes of Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. So Allah has created men and women with two distinct roles and functions. And like that engine, like that car, the oil and the coolant, if these two things are running in their channels, then that car will perform well. But as soon as there is a leak and the water mixes with the oil, then ask any mechanic, this will now be a cause for that engine to become severely damaged, and sometimes the engine might even crack up. So likewise, if men and women, if they are going to start now crossing their roles, and women are now asked to come out of their homes and go into the corporate world and rub shoulders with the men, then this will result in a breakdown, this will result in a breakdown in society. My dear brothers, the reason for me to say this is because Allah's Nabi has taught us, "Ala kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ul an ra'iyati." We as fathers, we as husbands, Allah has given us a responsibility. We are shepherds and Allah has put underneath us a herd to take care of. It is important for us to understand that what is expected of a woman in Islam, what is expected of a woman in Islam, I find it inconceivable that a man goes on an outing with his family and his wife or his daughter are not dressed up properly. Their hair is open and they're wearing tight-fitting clothes. I find it inconceivable that a man can allow his wife to go to a male makeup artist or a male hairstylist. Allah has given us this responsibility. Allah has made us men. It is time we man up. And by this I do not mean that now we begin to shout and scream and hit. Rather with understanding, with diplomacy, with wisdom, we make our wives and our daughters understand that their freedom and their emancipation and their dignity lies in following what Allah expects of them and not giving in to the whims and the fancies and giving in to what the West and the entire world expects of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding.